This is Radio Nepal. I am Situ Mananda with the news, the headlines first. Silence period for local level by-election underway. Publicity events for by-election restricted during this 40-hour period as per election code of conduct. Minister for Foreign Affairs, Dr. Arju Rana Deva, emphasizes promotion of Nepali tourism in China to strengthen bilateral ties. And Lebanon accuses Israel of ceasefire violation as Gaza death toll rises. Now the news in detail. The silence period of the by-election for the local level has started last midnight. Therefore, publicity event for the by-election have been prohibited in accordance with the election code of conduct. The election commission urged all stakeholders to ensure the by-election is conducted in a free, fair and impartial manner. The by-election for some local levels is scheduled to take place on 1st of December. The Election Commission has already arranged to enforce the Election Code of Conduct at the concerned local levels by monitoring activities to prevent violations during the silent period. Spokesperson at the Election Commission, Nita Pokhrel Aryal, said activities such as interactions, assemblies, conferences, workshops and seminars in favor of or against candidates, as well as soliciting votes for candidates through digital platforms and social media, such as SMS, Facebook and Viber, are restricted during this 48-hour period in accordance with the Election Code of Conduct. Minister for Foreign Affairs Dr. Arju Rana Deva has instructed to explore possibilities to promote Nepali tourism and culture in China. While inspecting the Consulate General of Nepal in Chengdu, China, today, Minister Rana said that Nepali products and tourism should be promoted in China to consolidate people-to-people connections between the two countries. According to Foreign Minister's Secretariat, Minister Dr. Rana was briefed by Consul General Suresh Raut about the activities of the consulate. On the occasion, Minister Rana also interacted with the staff members of the consulate and reminded the officials to be effortful to carry out the result in the backdrop of Nepal Visit Year 2025. Furthermore, Minister Rana instructed to identify ways to promote Nepali products like tea, coffee, medicinal and aromatic herbs in the Chinese market and to identify possible Nepali eateries in Chengdu. Foreign Minister Dr. Rana is in China to make final arrangements for Prime Minister K.P. Sharma Oli's upcoming China visit. Prime Minister K.P. Sharma Oli has arrived in Lumbini to attend the third convocation ceremony of Lumbini Buddhist University. Prime Minister Oli was welcomed at the Gautam Buddha International Airport in Bhairava by Chief Minister of Lumbini Province, Chet Narayan Acharya. During the ceremony, 289 students will be given degrees from the university. Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Bishnu Prasad Paudel has pledged to move forward with the Kali Gandaki Tinau Diversion Project following a favorable court ruling. Minister Paudel emphasized the project's importance for the development of Lumbini Province, stressing its potential to generate 150 megawatt of electricity and expand irrigation across 150,000 hectares of land in Rupandehi, Nawalparasi and Kapilbastu. Minister Paudel said so while laying the foundation stone of a modern surgery building of the Lumbini Eye Institute and Research Center and Sri Ranar Ambika Shah Eye Hospital in Bhairava today, marking the hospital's 42nd anniversary. The project, part of a 24 national pride initiatives in the region, had faced delays due to legal challenges but has now received court approval to proceed. In a different context, Minister Paudel also urged people to avoid spreading negative rumors about the Gautam Buddha International Airport, stressing its significance for regional connectivity and assured that the airport's operations would continue. The Bala Chaturdashi festival is observed throughout the country today by remembering and showing respect to the departed souls. Devotees gathered in the Shiva temple, including the Pasupatinath temple, since last night to observe the festival. In the night, the devotees light lamps in remembrance of the departed family members and spend the night observing a vigil. In the early hours next day, the devotees sow the sadbij, seven kinds of grain, along the surroundings of the shrines this morning. The festival formally began in the night of the 13th day of the waning moon in the month of Mangshir and is concluded today. Chairman of CPN Maoist Center, Pushpa Kamal Dahal Prachanda, emphasized the need for skill-based and practical education starting at the school level to prevent brain drain and promote self-reliance among youth. Speaking at the third International Educational Conference organized by PAPSUN, Chair Dahal stressed the importance of instilling values of patriotism, respect for labor and innovation in students to support the country's economy. Chair Dahal also called for a quality education system that can attract foreign students and urged collaboration between the public and private sectors to improve education. Health Minister Pradeep Podil has discussed plans to develop Sushma Koirala Memorial Hospital as a burn treatment center. Speaking at a program, Minister Podil emphasized the government's commitment to prioritizing burn care and enhancing treatment facilities. Meanwhile, Minister Podil also noted that Sushma Koirala Memorial Hospital, currently operated by the Sushma Koirala Memorial Trust with German support, will play a key role in training doctors and nurses nationwide in burn treatment. Former Deputy Prime Minister Sujata Koirala shared her experience recalling early challenges in providing burn treatment in remote areas when the hospital was first established. You are listening to Radio Nepal's 2 p.m. English News Bulletin. Now on to an international news update. Lebanon's military has accused Israeli forces of violating a ceasefire agreement, which has led to a fragile truce in the ongoing conflict with Hezbollah. According to Al Jazeera, the ceasefire, now in its third day, remains under threat. In Gaza, medical sources report at least 42 deaths from ongoing Israeli airstrikes and tank advances in northern and southern areas of the Strip. The United Nations has warned that famine is imminent as more than 2 million people in Gaza struggle with severe shortages of food and water. Since the start of the war on October 7, 2023, Israel's attacks have killed at least 44,330 people. In Lebanon, Israeli strikes have killed 3,961 people. Russian President Vladimir Putin has threatened to attack decision-making centers in the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv with the country's new ballistic missiles. According to the BBC, Russian President Putin was speaking hours after Russia launched a comprehensive strike on Ukraine's energy grid overnight. President Putin called it a response to continued attacks using U.S.-supplied MGM-140 Army Tactical Missile System missiles on Russian soil. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned that any Russian blackmail would be met with a tough response. Ukraine used USA and UK-supplied missiles to strike inside Russian territory last week for the first time since the full-scale invasion of February 2022, following approval by the Western suppliers, the US, the UK and France. The overnight Russian strike unfolded over several hours with waves of drones and missiles flying across Ukraine, the second attack of its kind this month. There were no fatalities, but it left more than 1 million people in Ukraine without power. Australia will ban children under age 16 from using social media after its parliament approved the world's strictest laws. According to the BBC, the ban, which will not take effect for at least 12 months, could see tech companies fined up millions of dollars if they don't comply. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says the legislation is needed to protect young people from the harms of social media, something many parents' groups have echoed. However, the critics say questions over how the ban will work and its impact on privacy and social connections have been left unanswered. Having passed the Senate by 34 votes to 19 late on Thursday, the bill returned to the House of Representatives where it passed early on Friday. The world's top court will begin unprecedented hearings to establish a legal blueprint for how countries should protect the environment from harmful greenhouse gases next week. According to the Agence France-Presse, the court will also address the consequences for nations that fail to meet these environmental responsibilities. Lawyers and representatives from more than 100 countries and organizations will make submissions before the International Court of Justice in The Hague from Monday. Now the general weather forecast for the country today. The Meteorological Forecasting Division has forecast the weather to be partly cloudy in the hilly areas of Kosi and mainly fair in the rest of the country today. At present, there is partial influence of westerly winds in the country. With this, we have almost come to the end of this news bulletin. But before wrapping it up, let's have a reminder of the headlines once more. Silence period for local level by-election underway. Publicity events for by-election restricted during this 48-hour period as per Election Code of Conduct. Minister for Foreign Affairs Dr. Arju Rana Deva emphasizes promotion of Nepali tourism in China to strengthen bilateral ties. And Lebanon accuses Israel of ceasefire violation as Gaza death toll rises. Well, that's the end of the news bulletin for this hour. Our next news in English will air at 8 p.m. in the evening. For the latest news updates from Radio Nepal, do visit our official website at radionepalonline.com. Thank you for tuning in. Have a pleasant day.